Jam Inc. proudly presents In Your Ear, the season finale of our continuing live performance music series here on 88.9 WCVE Richmond Public Radio. Drawn from our 9-year archive of house-style concerts recorded at Richmond's In Your Ear Studio A. I'm your host, Tim Timberlake, and we're glad to have you with us for some top-drawer Virginia-based jazz, courtesy of the J. Sinnott Trio. Broadcast of In Your Ear is made possible by Hohner Incorporated for more than 150 years, makers of quality musical instruments like sonar drums and percussion. Enjoy music, play Hohner, online at HohnerUSA.com. We finish up our season today with some very well-played trio jazz led by Tidewater bass percussionist and music educator Jay Sinnott, who also hosts a popular radio show himself. Jay is joined by one of a prominent fraternity of VCU jazz graduates under Professor Doug Richards. That would be bassist Terry Burrell. And on piano, a 27-year-old Virginia Beach native who has caught the attention of some of the music industry's most prominent figures. A degenerative disease took his sight at age 11, but Justin Coughlin has not looked back and is one of the most exciting keyboard artists in the world today. We'll hear part of a pre-show interview with Justin a little later on, but let's get on with the music. We start with a classic Dave Brubeck composition called In Your Own Sweet Way from the J. Sinnott Trio. This is In Your Ear. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is In Your Ear on 88.9 WCVE, and we're spending the full hour today with the Jay Sinnott Trio. That was one of Jay's own pieces called Straight Around the Corner. More music and a conversation with piano man Justin Coughlin coming up. Broadcast of In Your Ear is made possible by Hohner Incorporated, makers of quality musical instruments, including Hohner accordions. Enjoy music. Play Hohner online at HohnerUSA.com. Jam Inc. is a 501c3 Virginia nonprofit corporation with a mission of opening minds, hearts, and ears to music deserving a wider audience through education, performance, and support. All our visiting artists make at least one in-school appearance, and each year, Jam Inc. coordinates the school outreach program for October's Richmond Folk Festival. Let's get back to our memorable jazz night in Studio A with drummer Jay Sinnott, bassist Terry Burrell, and piano sensation Justin Coughlin. Before the concert, I talked with Justin about his musical beginnings. This is In Your Ear.
It's kind of the typical story where I was two or younger, and finding my way to the piano that we had in the house and kind of figuring things out on my own. They saw that I had definitely kind of an affinity to the instrument, and they looked for a piano teacher at first. Unfortunately, there was not a piano teacher in the area that was comfortable teaching a visually impaired student. So what they did is they signed me up with a violin teacher who did have experience with people with visual impairment. So that was my first thing, and I studied classical, you know, violin, Suzuki method, which was really good because of the ear training that it focuses on. And that was the beginning. And then they did find a piano teacher for me when I was 9.
What was it that opened your ears to, I mean, if your training was pretty much classical, and is that sort of what mostly you heard at home as well, what was the spark plug that kind of brought jazz into your life?
I mean, music was definitely in my life as a young, preteen, I guess, but What really kind of spurred things on was that I was born with a degenerative disease, and for the first 11 years of my life, I was able to see, just not really well. But it was degenerative, so I did end up losing all of it when I was 11. And that really kind of, I found myself more and more spending time at the piano and actually starting to enjoy it a lot more. And so the classical continued, and then I auditioned to go to the Governor's School for the Arts in Norfolk. And there, they saw my situation as a blind student. They thought, well, let's let them try the jazz program because of the sight reading that would be involved with going into the classical piano program. Mm-hmm. So it was mainly just them trying to find a place for me. It just felt like a perfect fit. Once I started learning about how it worked and how jazz is really an oral tradition. So things are passed on through listening more so than the real instruction. It just felt right, and it felt like something that I could actually do as a blind person. It was something that I could, and I started working when I was 15. I started playing with other students from school, and we got jobs around town playing at the beach. So that was another kind of boost for my ambitions to continue doing jazz.
Was there a certain point in your life, and maybe at what age, and what was going on with you at the time that sort of helped you feel like, okay, well, I can maybe make this my life. Maybe I can make a living at this. When did that happen?
That was pretty much then, when I was 15, is when I really decided that this is something that I would pursue professionally and really kind of continue doing the rest of my life, pretty much.
The Jay Sinnott Trio's captivating cover of Bobby Hebb's Sonny. As we continue our In Your Ear conversation with pianist Justin Coughlin and explore his close collaboration with legendary jazz trumpeter Clark Terry and Quincy Jones.
You know, I've had the opportunity to spend time with a lot of great musicians. Clark is one of the really special ones. An incredible person, you know, personality-wise, just the warmest, kindest person, and at the same time, one of the most renowned trumpeters, really, in the jazz history. Yeah. And on top of that, his lifespan parallels the actual lifespan of jazz. You know, he's been around since the inception. It's been a real blessing to be able to spend time with him, to know him personally. Just to get any kind of acknowledgement from somebody like that is something that's just incredibly powerful. I've learned so much just by observing him. I was able to see him when he was performing still. He stopped a few years ago because of health, but I was able to see him perform. And even in his later years, such an amazing performer. That's something that's getting lost through the generations, I think. People don't understand the art of being a true performer and somebody who...
For people my age who remember him on The Tonight Show and Doc Severinsen's band for all those years, he was much more than a musician. He was a showman.
Excellent showman. Yeah. So the thing that I get from him the most, the thing that stands out, is just his giving spirit. He's going to be 93 in a couple of weeks, and he still lives to give in lessons. He's still teaching. He feels like he just needs to be here, you know, to keep on teaching and to keep on sharing what he knows. And it's something that's extremely valuable.
Living to give. I mean, that's a beautiful line, and that's exactly what,
what
the best
that.
People do.
He does that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly right. How did you meet Quincy Jones? How did that happen?
It was actually, I met Quincy through my relationship with Clark. Quincy is kind of dubbed as Clark's first student. Quincy was 14, and Clark was in his 20s touring with Count Basie.
So you and Quincy are the bookends, basically, for Clark.
Yeah. Terry. Quincy is his first, and I'm one of his, you know, his one of his last students.
Good,
you know? So we basically connected at Clark's house. Quincy was down there to see Clark and to do some project he was working on, and he wanted Clark to be involved. And I was down there just to visit Clark, really. And so we collided and spent a day together, Clark, Quincy, and I, and just talking. And I got to, you know, play for Quincy.
Do you remember what the first thing Quincy Jones said to you after hearing you play?
No. It was. It's in the film, so
okay.
You know, it really that. The time at Clark's house, I just thought was just a one-time thing. Just meeting Quincy was real special, and I thought that was amazing. And then about 3 months later, I was somewhere, I forget, Colorado, I think, and I get a call from Quincy's kind of right-hand man. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, Quincy would really like to kind of help you out in any way he can because of what Clark has done for him. So that's kind of how the thing happened. And so I've been kind of working with Quincy for the last year or so, and it's been nice. The thing that I ran into a lot, I lived in New York for a while and was playing with a lot of people, and they would always be astounded. Even people that I really looked up to would be like, man, how do you learn this thing so fast, you know, just one or two times and you got it. And the thing is, if I were to force them to be in my situation, and I did, you know, I would say, just sit down and let's just do this tune, don't look at the paper, and they would surprise themselves, because that's the thing. I think people just have this, they rely on music so much that they don't realize that it's something that they definitely can do. If you kept somebody on crutches the whole time and made them think that they couldn't walk without them, they would be astounded. You know, it's the same thing. It's just you got to exercise it.
Well, those of us who have heard you play are grateful to all your teachers and to you for your serious woodshedding over all these years. And we look forward to riding along with you and seeing what happens. Nice to talk to you, Justin.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
This is In Your Ear, and this week we've spent the full hour with Tidewater Virginia's Jay Sinnott Trio. Besides his percussive prowess, Jay hosts a very popular radio show on Norfolk NPR affiliate WHRV called Sinnott in Session. More about that and his music online at jaysinnott.com. That's J-A-E-S-I-N-N-E-T-T. That was VCU jazz grad Terry Burrell on bass and on piano, Justin Coughlin finishing up with a romantic Jay Sinnott original called See It Through. Get links to videos featuring Justin with Clark Terry and Quincy Jones and follow his impressive career online at justincoughlin.com, and that's K-A-U-F-L-I-N. Broadcast of In Your Ear is made possible by Cedar Creek, a Virginia company fashioning custom cases for fine musical instruments. Cedar Creek, building tradition, one case at a time. Online at cedarcreekcases.com. By Digital Video Group, supplying broadcast and production equipment and services to television stations, production houses, Fortune 500 companies, educational and government agencies. Details at digitalvideogroup.com. And, of course, by Hohner Incorporated, for more than 150 years, makers of quality musical instruments, including marine band harmonicas. Enjoy music. Play Hohner. Online at HohnerUSA.com. Production of our live In Your Ear studio concert series is made possible in part through a generous grant from Will and Molly Perkinson in support of the rich acoustic music scene in our community. Hotel accommodations for our visiting artists are generously provided by the Hilton Garden Inn at 5th and Broad in downtown Richmond and the Hampton Inn West on Cox Road in Innsbruck. Studio A performances are recorded and mixed for Jam Inc. by Carlos Chafin and Andrea Steffel at Richmond's In Your Ear Music and Recording downtown in Chaco Bottom. Learn about their courses on modern recording techniques online at loeb.com. Our theme music is by The Bee Eaters. Thanks so much for tuning us in this week, and thanks to all the folks at 88.9 WCVE for airing another season of our show. If you've missed any of our past programs, or if you'd like to hear any of them again, you can listen online at ideastations.org/IYE. For all of us at Jam Inc., I'm Tim Timberlake, and this is In Your Ear.